Time now for sports on 104.7 The Cave. Here's Ned Reynolds.
Mike, the intern, Ned Reynolds in the studio on a Wednesday morning. The NFL owners met in Orlando, Florida to discuss league business earlier this week. We already talked about how they are going to focus on the hip tackle this year. Good luck officiating that. But in addition to that, it looks like they're going to adopt some new kickoff rules as well.
Already in place. They passed the vote yesterday. It was 29-3 among the owners in favor of the new kickoff rules. And this, this mic is bizarre. And it's going to take some getting used to. This is what they used in the XFL a couple of years ago in the NFL. So, you know, that may be pretty good. So they have adopted it 1 year only, and then they'll review it again next year. Folks, when they kick it off, and this is all kickoffs in the NFL next year, the only players who are moving on the field are the kicker and the receivers. Everybody else is stationary until the ball is touched by the receivers downfield or whatever the case might be. They're stationary. They're like statues out there. They cannot move. Once the ball is caught, if it's in play, then the runner takes off, then the defenders, and they're apportioned in a formula of some sort that supposedly allows for larger kickoff returns, but whatever. Then the tacklers can go after the man and so forth and so on. If you kick it out of bounds, or I beg your pardon, kick it out of the end zone, that's touchback, of course. And if the ball bounces in play and then goes into the end zone, that is also a touchback. But unlike past years, the kickoff cannot be fair caught this year. Now, you might remember there were a number of individuals last year who made fair catches on the kickoff and maybe caught it on the 1 yard line or the goal line or wherever, and then had it advanced out to the 25. That's out. You can't fair catch anymore. Once you catch that ball, you better start running. But that's the new rule in the NFL on the kickoffs. The hip tackle thing is just absolute bull. And I don't know how they're going to officiate that, and neither does my friend in town, the former National Football League official. He said, how are you going to judge it? Well, that all remains to be ironed out, I guess, in spring camps and fall camps and exhibition games and so forth and so forth. And, hey, it's bizarre. Why they have to fool around with the game, I'll never tell you.
It's just progress or degress, whichever you look.
It's regress.
It's changed nonetheless. And that's how it goes. So this year, Christmas Day actually falls on a Wednesday, which is going to make that work week a little bit interesting. That means the NFL is going to have some midweek games?
Yes, they will have them. They were emboldened, so to speak, by the ratings for the Monday night Christmas on a Monday. And the Monday night telecasts, the ratings were 29 million for one, 27 million for another, and hey, it just blew everything else right out of the water, and the NFL is just thrilled with this. So they said, well, we never play games in midweek. But you never say never, because they are. They're going to play a doubleheader on Christmas, which is a Wednesday, probably a day game and a night game, and I assume the night game will be on NBC. It always has been. But we'll see just exactly how that works, because it's going to be interesting. Midweek NFL games. Now, how do they give these teams an extra day of rest? Well, that'll all be worked out in the schedule when it's released in May. Teams already know who they're going to play, but when and where and how does remain until they release that schedule in May. But, yep, there will be two games on Christmas Day.
Last but not least, there's been a lot of back and forth between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Have you seen the training videos from each guy?
I have, yeah.
I know it's all bogus and definitely not, you know, it's exhibition, as they say.
Well, that's just it. That's where they haven't decided yet. If it's exhibition, then the rules are different. But if it's not, if it's a sanctioned fight, then that kind of favors Tyson in a way, because he can wear 10-ounce gloves. Otherwise, they're going to be 16-ounce gloves if it's an exhibition. But that's just it. What will it be? What will the Texas Athletic Commission decide? The July 20th is when Paul and Tyson, I think this whole thing's rubbish, frankly, but they're going to go in the ring at the AT&T Stadium, otherwise known as Jerry's World, on July 20th. There has not been a pre-fight card presented by anybody yet. And that's important because you do have to have an entertaining evening, not just the main event. But we'll see how it works out. This is a 27-year-old guy against a 57-year-old guy. And while the 57-year-old is one of the hardest punchers in all the world, that I don't know. I just don't know how that's going to work out. But we'll see if it ever does come to pass.
Personally, between me and you, I hope Mike Tyson punches a hole right through that dude. Either way, and I don't think I'm alone in that. The Cardinals are heading west to hopefully open their season soon, but there's a little bit of a change in that regard, isn't there?
There is indeed, and this is rather interesting. Last year, this kid played center field for the Springfield Cardinals, and he was dynamite. Victor Scott is to whom we're making the reference. All-America at West Virginia in the Big 12 Conference, Player of the Year, and led the team in stolen bases and all that sort of thing. Had a great spring training with the St. Louis Cardinals. But on Saturday, the Cardinals decided that he better get some more seasoning. It's really a roster move, a procedural move more than anything else. And they sent him back to Memphis. But wait, he's now suddenly back in the Cardinals uniform, St. Louis Cardinals uniform, and will open the season in center field. Victor Scott is the third individual to be penciled in as the starting center fielder for the Cardinals. First it was Tommy Edman, but he has a wrist injury. So his replacement's Dylan Carlson. But wait, Dylan Carlson ran into Jordan Walker in a collision 2 days ago and hurt his shoulder. Now what are we going to do? Bring up Victor Scott. So he will be the starting center fielder 3 days after being sent to the minor leagues. He'll be in center field for the Cardinals tomorrow when they open up at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. Always a shifting going on.
And it never really stops. That's just really when it starts as the beginning of the season kicks off. And that does kick off tomorrow for all teams. Mm-hmm. Now we've talked about the Cardinals. What about the Royals?
Royals are in Kansas City as we speak, and they will probably go through some drills today at Kauffman Stadium. Maybe on the cool side there. Tomorrow, hopefully a little bit warmer, and the Royals will open up the season against the Minnesota Twins at Kauffman Stadium. Should be. Hey, everybody, as you mentioned, Mike, everybody opens tomorrow, weather permitting. That's the way it should be. It didn't used to be that way. Back in the old days, the Cincinnati Reds were always the first team to play and the only team to play on opening day, but now it's different. Everybody's going to open up, and hey, let the season begin. I'm all for it.
Me too. Means you're a happy guy for the next few months. So we talk now. We've had a couple of thoughts. The rumor mill's definitely churning about who's going to be leading the basketball Bears in the near future. Now, Konzo Martin's in the mix. Any more?
No. I think he is it. He's going to be the coach. He's already, in a sense, said as much in texting to some of his former teammates and some friends of his up here in Springfield. But it looks as though Konzo will be the man. Why the university is waiting, that I don't know. Maybe all the T's haven't been crossed and I's dotted and all that sort of thing. I'm assuming that. But then again, I never know what in the world goes on over at that college. Nobody else does either. But be that as it may, Konzo Martin will be the head basketball coach. And in keeping with a thought process that not just I, but many had, hey, return to the days of success. And he had success here. He coached the only Missouri Valley Conference champion the Bears have had, and a great, just a really great mix of players who excited the crowd to the point where the largest attendance ever at what is now known as the Great Southern Bank Arena, 11,000, over 11,000, it's about 11,300, 11,400, in to watch the Bears in Wichita State late on a February Saturday afternoon. Place was mobbed. The noise was utterly incredible, ear-splitting, and that's the way it should be for every game. It is not. It's been rock bottom. Maybe Konzo can return it to those days of glory. We hope so.
Well, either way, change can be good. I know we started out this conversation with on change, but sometimes change is a good thing. My friend Ned, you have a great Wednesday. I'll see you tomorrow.